Brass Stacks, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, sir.
How are you keeping?
I am keeping all right. I'm keeping all right.
You don't respond to why I have to stay right now.
Okay.
As information comes, I will give you a breath of it.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about. You don't say anything.
All right.
What does a retirement function and a funeral have in common then?
You hear how good you were.
Huh?
You hear how good you were in one. You can't hear it in the other. Well, at least I don't know yet if you could hear it at the other one.
Yeah, I got a little more to it. When you're there, some people have want more, want a little miserable and want you to go. When you do go now, it's sorry to see you go. Can't dig it. About this program, I guess, where they say pretty much about what most people, if not all people, would have said. Right? I can leave that there. On the program twice last week, and I guess he would have been moderating one of the programs when they spoke about lanes outside the supermarket, how marketing should be placed outside the supermarket. Well, I was privileged to hear the Attorney General say, last thing was on television, that they are not only responsible for people in the supermarket, they are also responsible for people on the premises. Having said that, though, I went to the Supreme Court this morning, and I hope that the Attorney General also realize that same principle also applies to the Supreme Court. Going up that concrete ramp, that is where people usually queue up. Not a single marking to establish the physical distance. Not one. And I hope it will be looked into as soon as possible. You cannot be doing 99% are trying to keep this thing under control. It must be 100 or more percent as we must rid ourselves of this.
But sir, let me say this to you. I hear you. I understand what you're saying. But I'm asking you, where does human common sense take over? Because there was a picture in the front page of the newspaper of adults, seniors, jumbled up, standing up inside one another to try to get a vaccine. There was no social distancing. There was no elbow room. And if I can't say that properly on radio, I could take it out, right? They were crushed against each other. So I've gone into a supermarket. There are markings on the floor. People are told to wait until the person at the cash register moves and the area is sanitized before coming up. There was a man standing up at my elbow. I pointed to the spot in the ground in case he didn't understand English and asked him to move back to the spot. And in fact, I said to him, if you don't understand English, I could tell you in 5 different languages, 4 of which you might understand, and the 5th that I know you won't understand, but you will get the point. He backed up a little bit, not even to the mark, he backed up a little bit. While my few items were simply moving along the conveyor belt, the man was right up on the spot, putting his groceries on. And the cashier had to tell him, do not do it. And it was being announced over the public address system all the time. So I hear you about the markings on the ground. I hear you about putting it outside. But sir, where does human common sense step in? Because we're talking about adults. We ain't talking about children. I don't know children going to the Supreme Court. So what are we going to do? Put policemen in task force gear to tell people stand up a certain distance or stand on the mark? It ain't making sense.
My thing is, if you do not adhere to the marking and you are caught not adhering to the marking,
what are you going to do?
You should be removed from the line.
Who going to remove them? So you want them to have policemen out there telling you what to do?
I don't care who they care. We got a bunch of soldiers up there. put him in a different kind of uniform, an uncomfortable uniform, because you can't put him in a school uniform.
Sir.
Put him in a, but Dennis,
Sir, the problem is that people can tell you you want us to live in a police state. Sir, that I will ask the question again. When does human common sense take over? Yesterday during the program, I heard Junior Jordan talking about going to the beach and red flags being up and people surfing and swimming. And then there's a story in the newspaper of a paddleboard man that went adrift and we had to send the Coast Guard after him. Now, I see a nice Coast Guard officer, female, so I suppose the fellow wanted to be, you know, given mouth-to-mouth resuscitation and helped to shore by the lady. But if you got red flags and you say don't go in the water, high surf advisory out on in the weather news, and a man go there and you're on a paddleboard and end up in Carúpano in Venezuela, what do you want us to do?
But
it have to come down to common sense at some point.
Yeah, that is, I glad you said that. I got add 2 things to that there now, right? And I can do it before you.
Go ahead.
If I was a lifeguard and there's a website on the beach, and you're going to walk, I ain't coming here. But then again, no. Who am I to say that the person in colorblind? You understand where I'm coming from?
No, sir. I telling you they ain't colorblind. If I see a flag fluttering on the beach, I know it ain't mean come for rum punch. I ain't care what the color is.
Sir,
the reason why I could say that is because I had a brother who used to make all them kind of comments. Man run through a red light, hit a car, and say the angle of the sun on the light make it look like green and all kind of thing. I hear all kind of excuses already. So colorblind is just one of them. I ain't laughing. On a very serious note, right, sir? There is something called responsibility. And as adults, we have to be responsible at some point. We have to. Go ahead. Tell me. We can't police everybody. You were saying?
I'm in town. Mm-hmm. I've got to leave some contact information for you at the front desk.
No problem.
Yeah. Relating to what I told you.
You spoke to me about, correct. Yep.
Right, okay.
All right, buddy, you take care. And my thoughts are with the family of the individual that you didn't want to refer to. Brastax, good morning. Hello? 4341790, Brastax, good morning.
Good morning. This is my turn now?
Yes, it is.
Oh, good morning, sir. How are you? I know you're fine. Getting out of here. Friday's program was fantastic. And as a man with daughters, that one hit me. And his son's tribute to him was fantastic.
It was great. Yeah.
It was a wonderfully produced program. And the thing I want to talk about is policies, company policies.
Yeah.
I'll just touch it briefly because I know that everybody will know that I've been harking on this back where I call my plantation. About 15 years ago, I saw a very brilliant man full of endless talent being put to pasture, so to speak. The company policy is that at 65, you will no longer be housed. You must leave.
Yep.
And if you are going to share expenses with me to educate myself in certain spheres, and they speak to the older you get, the more valuable you can be, and most likely our wisdom and age are recognized as valuable assets, then why is it that our policy is to tell people left the place? And it kerfuffled me. And I saw that the Asian society and culture speaks to respecting the elders and always leaning on them. And that has, I've been fighting against that for at least 15 years now, Dennis. So, and I actually gave up. So when this thing was announced that David Ellis is into retirement, I said, man, no, man, that's a joke. This, and he checked to make sure it was not April 1st. And lo and behold, it is true. Yeah. And immediately I recognized, I thought it was just us. I didn't recognize that Darkom had a very similar policy as well.
OCM policy, sir. You want me to tell you what's the even more strange thing about OCM's policy? Ladies have to leave at 60.
I heard that. You said that just now, and that pricked my ear up. That is blatantly sexist. If you educate me, I'm going to apply it. I don't just read the word, I apply the word. So what, that is sexist. Anyhow, let me not litigate this.
But the answer here's the twist in the tail, right? The regional CEO or CM is a female. Go ahead. So I just find it curious that, you know, you talk about company policy and my ears pricked up, right? Because here's my challenge. And I'm really happy that you hit on it, because it is something I think we have to look seriously at. And it's this. I just had to correct somebody online who says that the retirement age is 67. No, that's the age at which you get your NIS pension.
Correct.
You could retire at any age. You could retire at 40, 45, 50, whenever you feel like. But here's the thing. We talk glibly. I heard it on an entire Brass Tacks program about discrimination. And we talk about discrimination, about homosexuality. We talk about discrimination between blacks and whites. Isn't what we're talking about here that says at 60 a lady should go home and a man at 65 discrimination? Isn't it age discrimination?
Yes, and it is.
Is there not something wrong with it discrimination in general?
You are in Barbados, which has a demographic that speaks to a population that has several. Every week we're celebrating a centenarian.
Who's still in the good fat, who have all their brains working.
Yes, I do not understand the policy. I still don't understand the policy. And I've been told several times to my face by those on the very top, Patrick, that's the way it goes. When it's my turn, I'll be gone. Do you want to shake my hand? No, you want to shake my hand in a couple of years. So when David announced, I knew you could not be far behind.
I thought so I was in front. I tell you.
So, and the things that I really enjoyed from Friday's thing is when you brought in Vic Fernandez, Linda Waldron, and you just hit the other one that I knew. His voice used to make me stand up as an infant, Leslie Sion. And that you brought back such a flood of memories. I always remember as a kid hearing Mr. Ellis challenge the then Prime Minister Tom Adams, mm-hmm. and Tom Adams' only retort was to go, David, David, yeah. Yep. And try to get David to stop pressing.
And he is stopping, right?
I have never forgotten that. And the public was split. You know, you shouldn't press the Prime Minister. The other side was going, but this man is brave and bold. And of course, the other loud thing talking about discrimination and bigotry and the classism that exists was the revealing by Linda Waldron that he was an anomaly or a strange thing. Just like you, Dennis, you know? Who are you from?
That must be why he thought he should have called me.
Exactly, he wanted support. You know, I heard that loud and clear. People always ask you who your parents are, where you're at school.
Yep,
and yet we are replete with a brilliant as Prime Minister, as Owen Arthur, that just passed, that did not go to one of these so-called big schools. And yet you don't understand that it has very precious little to do with those fake fiefdoms.
But you know, here's the other strange thing, that I listened to the comments of a lot of the people paying tribute to David. And you know, almost every single one of them referred to the fact that he went to Ellerslie. And I sat here going, you know, this school tie thing really have people tie up. Let me put it that way.
The joke in my home was, Mr. Ellis went to Ellerslie. Was the school named after him? No, dear. Just coincidence. But that's a hint for the powers that be, who can now do likewise and fix up for those kind of renaming of things.
Not correct.
I look forward, just like, you know, I've been pressuring you for years, bring the book. I sent a message to him about that. The same response he gave publicly, which is he's not sure he's going to do it, but he has several things in his fire. Mm-hmm. It will not be the same. And for the first time, I believe, I shouldn't say first time, but on the rare occasion, I do agree with the lady who called and spoke about the balance. And I do love your response, because the balance really is in the vetting of who you bring in, but most importantly, the training and that knack for picking and spotting good talent. I am convinced. I don't have the patience you guys have.
You learn it. You learn it on the fly, my friend. Let me
have mercy and the fake news. You know,
it's difficult in the current environment. I'll tell you why. Two things I've learned from doing this program, and one of them is that you need a strong producer whom you trust and who trusts you.
And that part I'm glad you shared. I was not aware that your first day you had him more or less piloting you, piloting the plane from a distance.
Leslie Sion was a tremendous person. And the lady I mentioned who told me stop calling her name, Annette Beckett as well. I think both David and I said this, and Vic too. Starcom Network, when I came in as Barbados Radio Fusion Service Limited, was a family of people who shared with each other. And that's one of the reasons why, as much as I appreciate the outreach of OCM across the region, I'm not happy with some of the things they've done. And I'll tell you why. When I came to this company as Barbados Radio Fusion Service Limited, I met a guy called Mitch Mears. They told me that Mitch Mears had retired. I didn't believe that because Mitch looked younger than me. And when he finally stopped coming to work last year or the year before, he still looked younger than me. Mitch had retired, but Mitch remained here as, you know, one of the stabilizing forces, the anchors. Wesley Roach is no longer here, but he listens to radio. And if the 20-second delay is put on incorrectly, Wesley sends me a note. Man, tell them people learn how to put on the delay, Dennis.
Wow.
Right? Because he still cares about the quality of radio and the passion that comes from saying, this is my job. I remember the first day somebody in 104 did something wrong and said, oh, we had a slight technical problem. Borky pushed the door open and said to the person, show me the technical problem you had. And the person said, man, I leave the record on. I forget I was outside. He said, but that's not a technical problem. That's your problem. You do foolishness. Don't blame me. I'm a technician, right? And you just say you have a technical problem. That's not a technical problem. So I come to fix it. No. That's a man who cares about his job.
And
it's his responsibility.
Don't call me and say. You have the plans lined up. Like, see, Mr. Ellis got several things planned. You start planning on.
No, this is what I'm going to say to you, right? And this is why I talk about the trust. There's a guy who used to be on Hot FM called DJ Fuzz. Okay? I remember I was standing outside the door one day, and Fuzz was inside holding court with the fellas in there. And he was telling them that they were playing the top of the hour ID wrong. That what you're supposed to do is play the top of the hour ID so it comes out at the top of the hour. So it would go hot 95.3 FM, boom, boom, 10 o'clock. He said, that's what you do. So you back time it and you come back. He said, and if you go and introduce a song, you look to see how long the intro is. The intro is 10 seconds, so you talk for 10 seconds. So when you finish, as you say, and the song is, it comes up. And I stood up outside the door smiling. He must have seen me. Say, Dennis Johnson, tell me so. And all of them started to laugh. And all of them started to laugh. And I pushed the door and say, I'm glad you listen. And we laugh. But here's the thing, right? Even if they don't do it all the time, the point is they know how to do it.
Yeah.
You just need somebody. Somebody to come and tell them all the time, man, listen, you know better than that piece of foolishness. You just do. And this is what Radio Fusion had when I came here. You had Carl Scott, you had Eric Nurse, you had David Ellis, you had Vic Fernandes, you had Annette Beckett. I could go through the whole list of names. Who would stop you in the corridor? And Alfred Pragner, who would stop you in the corridor and say, good news, Cass, yesterday, but that word is so-and-so, all right? That was well done. You got to remember, though, you
as
need to do so-and-so.
As long as you're teachable and coachable, that's important.
And that, it's the mentoring. It's the interaction at the level that does not say, write a memo, do a whatever. But when you tell somebody that your company policy says, 60 years, you go home, here. 65 years, you go home, here.
That's not sit well with me.
And you don't interact with them, you lose that mentorship. And if the new people you bring in don't know to pick up the phone and call a David and say, I'm going on air to read a newscast, David. I want you to listen to it and tell me what I do wrong. You know, tell me what I need to do. If you don't have that kind of connection, you lose the quality that is your brand And that's what you sell.
I am simply amazed at how much we have in common yet again, because I'm on record 2002 when a certain demutualization was taking place and they interviewed me. And my one sentence was, I trust that as we grow into a colossus, that we never lose the common touch that we've always had as this small indigenous Barbados company.
Correct, correct. And the point is,
I got nothing to say.
You're gone. Let me just say to you as you're going there.
I thought I was being, you know, but yes.
The brand was important to Barbadians, and that's what you should not lose. You may have changed your name from the Mutual to Sagicor. You may change it from Sagicor to something else. But the name meant something to Barbadians. And that name meant something because of the connection they had to people like yourself, the managers they knew, the girl at the counter that they smiled with. That connection runs deep. And there's a pride that goes with it that we should not lose when we change the name on the poster outside or wherever the managers come from. Learn what it means to the people that you serve. You have to do it. You have to. My brother, that's why we're brothers. I love you. Be good. Take care of the family. Brass Dax, good morning. Hello. Brass Dax, good morning.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you, Dennis?
I'm all right, and you?
I was forced to call because when that guy was talking about the... we needed markings, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was saying to myself that a society that is posted as having a high literacy rate, right? That no level, that a modicum of intelligence cannot be exhibited in terms of distance. You don't have to put markings for people to protect themselves, Dennis.
Apparently we do, son. We have to put police there to make sure that they do it too.
But aren't we going back, as you say, a couple of retrogressive steps? We talk about slavery, we talk about enforcing. I mean, you stand up in a line. Somebody's close to you. You can't see you close to them and, hey, let me move back a bit. You have to keep police to tell you, hey, go back. I'm amazing, Dennis. And I said to myself, wait, something's wrong with us. Where's this high level of literacy that is being postulated all about the place?
I,
absolute madness, Dennis.
So I sometimes ask myself if we've forgotten how to be responsible. That's the truth. Yeah, it really is. It really is surprising. But
listen,
yeah.
I listened to the gentleman, and I said, "But wait! At no point in time he takes responsibility for his behavior or his actions. Something wrong somewhere."
I think so too. I think so too.
Now, before I go, the other day I heard, was Friday, I think, Larry played a song, Elizabethan Serenade.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, when I heard it, it reminded me of Auntie Olga's program on a Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said to myself, how these things that we enjoyed, I mean, well, you know I'm a member of the older society, right? And I said, but wait, you know something? These were lovely things that... I enjoyed, you know, and I would listen to Auntie Olga. Not only the language, but the music, you know. And then I said, you know, so I mean, there are two people I really miss on VOB since I've been living here. One is Auntie Olga, and next one is my storyteller man,
Alfred Pragner.
Yes, because having worked with this guy in Trinidad, Paul Keynes Douglas.
Paul, yeah.
Right. And when I came here, I started to think, and then I knew of Bruce and John and so on. But when I heard Alfred, I said, my God, there's one here too. And surprisingly, we have not had a younger one, you know.
You know, the thing is this, we've had, you know, the problem with our spoken word artists is this. Few of them do humor, and the language has changed, and I think the audience they project to has also changed. Even Paul Keynes Douglas, they're younger comedians who've mimicked his style. Burt News in Jamaica, I can think of off the top of my head. There's another guy in Trinidad, I don't recall his name, but I've seen some of his work. But here's the challenge. radio has changed over the years. And unfortunately, because of formats, humor has been pushed into the background. Spoken word has been turned on its head. Poetry and things have changed. And those artists have gone to YouTube. They've gone to other platforms to reach their audience. So radio has either let them go, ignored them, or they haven't reached out to them in a positive way. And that's the reason why perhaps you don't hear the type of programming that you heard in the Radio Fusion days. Maybe there are opportunities for it on some radio stations, but when you're dealing with radios that depends on revenue from advertising, you have to ask, are the advertisers behind it the way they used to? Advertising is based on relationships. And if you listened to the people who came to the fore to support the tribute to David, you would understand the power he had to be a part of them. Sagicor with their early business and the various other companies that have given support, Williams Industries. But to convince the new advertisers, the new advertising companies, that there is a place in radio for this type of programming is difficult. We got to go to regional roundup. I almost let it slip. John signaled me a minute or two ago. Sorry about holding you back, John, but thanks for your comments, sir. This is the Monday edition of Down to Brass Tacks.